Members, the chair calls together the Minnesota House Committee on Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform. And members, we have one item of business today, and that's with dealing with House File 719. So I'm going to ask Representative Mary Kovas-Perdine to come forward to present the bill. And Representative Dean, I believe you have a motion for us.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I will move the bill before us. And are we going with the Senate file today, or are we going with the House file?
We're going to move the House file. Correct. So we're moving Senate File 1100,
okay,
and then we'll amend that.
Okay. I would then move Senate File 1100, Mr. Chair.
Very well. So Representative Dean moves Senate File 1100 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And Representative Dean, you have an amendment to your motion as well. So DE1 amendment?
Yes, I would move the DE1 amendment.
Representative Dean moves the DE1 amendment. Members, what that does is it puts the Senate file language, it amends the Senate file to reflect the House language that this committee has passed and that has passed on the floor of the House. Any questions? With that, all in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion prevails. Representative Kovas-Perdine. It's a little early in the morning for you.
It is early. And you've been really busy, so thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's my pleasure again to present this legislation on behalf of the Prairie Island community. So what this legislation will do is it removes that requirement that certain federally recognized tribes must have an agreement in place with the local county sheriff in order for the tribal police departments to exercise their police powers on their own reservations. And I want to remind you that the tribal police departments are very similar to our municipal police departments. Every officer is post-board certified. They're trained to do the hold the same standards as municipal police officers, and they're subject to the same code of conduct, laws, and rules as any municipal police office is. The only really difference between the municipal and the police departments are that the tribal police departments are without an agreement in place with the local county sheriff. A tribal police department cannot exercise its police powers on the reservations. So in other words, they can't pull somebody over, they can't make arrests, and they can't issue citations. So this change will allow the tribal police departments to continue to have cooperative agreements with other local law enforcements, and most importantly, ensure that the tribal police officers are always allowed to enforce the law on their tribal lands.
Very well. Thank you, Representative Kovas-Perdine. Members, we heard this bill earlier in the session. We had some debate. We then moved it out as part of this language as part of the omnibus bill, which then was passed on the floor of the House. The language is actually in front of the conference committee as we are conferring with the Senate. However, it's not at all unusual for bodies to pull bills separate, that they might be negotiated separately as well. And with the Senate having moved this bill most recently, it seemed a good opportunity for us to be able to do that. I do know that there are some folks that want to offer some very quick testimony. I'm not looking for long testimony or long debate here, but I do want to honor the presence of those who have traveled the distance to share some brief words. So if there's anyone in the audience that wishes to do that at this moment, I would ask you to come forward. Very well. Then discussion. Representative Johnson.
Chair Mariani, members, Representative Kovas-Perdine. I do have some serious concerns on this. I myself have worked on a couple of reservations as an undercover officer. I've worked well. The departments themselves and the guys that are working there are fabulous. They work well. My concern isn't with the department itself. It's not with the the officers. It's the problem that we have with the fact that the tribal leadership is not a state government entity. One thing that we do have is the fact, in fact, I have Prairie Island's government rules and regulations up in front of me right now. If in current law, if a police officer in another state jurisdiction really messes up, that city or sheriff's office or even the state can be named in a lawsuit. I'm reading right here under Section 3 of their charter, Article 2, Section 3, the sovereign immunity of the tribe, they cannot be sued. That's a problem. It's lack of accountability. I'm just wondering how to deal with that, with this particular law, how that is going to infect that issue.
Thank you for that question. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for the question. That's a really important issue to take into consideration, and I'm going to ask somebody from Prairie Island, their lawyer, to come and speak to it, please.
Welcome back to the committee. Good to see you both.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for the question. Under state statute...
I'm sorry, you'll need to identify for the record.
Excuse me, Jesse Stomsky-Syme, General Counsel for the Prairie Island Indian Community.
Thank you.
To the question, which is a very good question and one that was contemplated under state statute, the tribes are required to waive sovereign immunity for claims just as those you referenced, and Prairie Island has indeed waived.
Very well. Representative Johnson.
Chair Mariani. Granted, this time they've waived under the current law. I'm not sure if this would change that or not. That's something I have to look further into. Like I say, I have a lot of concerns. Then we have the other issue where... trying to find that spot where I read that again. But I'm just wondering, we have state laws that are different than the ordinances that you currently have. One of them deals with firearms. You have an ordinance under firearms that no firearms can be displayed or possessed or carried on the reservation. Minnesota law says you can't do that. No government entity can do that. So if you're going to be a police department, either you're going to have to be either a government entity or you're going to have to be a sovereign nation. Otherwise, in my personal opinion, if you do not follow 100% of the state statutes, you're a private entity. And I cannot give police authority to a private entity. I hope you can understand where I'm coming from on this, because it's not a government agency. It's a tribal government, a sovereign nation, and I have trouble giving arrest authority under the state of Minnesota to a sovereign nation, a private entity. I understand why you're looking at doing this. It deals with an issue in Mille Lacs County. Nothing that Prairie Island community has ever had to deal with. In fact, from what I've heard, the police department and the tribal government works very well with the current sheriff's office and the county commissioners. Things are going very well there. The issue up in Mille Lacs County is totally different. It's been an ongoing issue. And I've seen that same ongoing issue between police departments and sheriff's departments all over the state. But one thing different in that... in the rest of the state, if there's some issues, the state can come in and work on those issues. On this particular issue, the state cannot do that. In fact, in Mille Lacs County, when the the last time that the mutual aid agreement was ended, the sheriff at that time asked the state auditor to come in and audit the evidence room to make sure everything was done properly before he took 100% control of that and make sure everything was there, to make sure nothing was missing, and to protect himself so it couldn't be said that the sheriff's department did something. The state auditor informed the sheriff that he had no jurisdiction. The state has zero jurisdiction on Mille Lacs Reservation and was unable to do that audit. That's why I have concerns, because there's a possibility of no checks and balances with something like this without that mutual aid agreement. And there again, that's why I have some grave concerns on this bill.
Well, General Counsel or Chief?
Thank you, Representative. And, you know, I can understand your feeling of being troubled, but your feeling of being troubled, respectfully, in my opinion, is based on a fundamental misunderstanding of tribal jurisdiction, Public Law 280, the concurrent jurisdiction, and maybe some experiences that you've had in your career that play towards those beliefs. And I would love the opportunity for us to sit down with you and spend time walking through this, because it can be complex, and we certainly recognize that. I would like to hand it over to Chief Preem to discuss the differences between civil regulatory law and criminal law, to your firearm point, and to talk about a very comprehensive recent audit that we did go through with the state.
Mr. Chair.
Very well. Chair Lewis.
Just ahead of that, I wanted to clarify on the audit. My understanding is that the state auditor did not have jurisdiction on that due to it being non-financial items. So the charge of the state auditor is limited to financial auditing of local governments, and when you put in that other business, that's when they pull back. So I would like some clarification of that, because I was under the understanding that it was not due to the tribal sovereignty issue.
So, Chairman, unless you're looking for some technical explanation, perhaps from legal counsel in this regard?
Mr. Chair, yes, we don't have the state auditor here, I don't think, but if someone knows, that'd be helpful, and if not, I can get my information offline. But that was my understanding when it happened. It was not due to sovereignty questions related to tribal government, but it was more related to to there being non-financial components involved in that audit.
Yeah, we don't have counsel that can. Our counsel can't speak to that issue right now, but we can certainly work to dig that information and get that out back to committee members. In the meantime, Chief Preem.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative. I believe that we discussed this in the last hearing as well, as the civil regulatory versus the criminal aspect. Prairie Island has ordinances that are considered tribal ordinances, just like a city would have ordinances, and those are civil and regulatory. They're punishable by fine only, and they're heard in our tribal court. Some of our ordinances are being updated to reflect different changes that have happened outside of the reservation, and that's one of those that needs to be updated. With respect to the torts and claims, if you look at Minnesota Statute 626.93, Subdivision 2 under tribal law enforcement agency requirements, the first section there says that the tribe agrees to be subject to liability for its torts of those of its officers, employees, agents acting with the scope of their employment duties arising out of law enforcement agency function. So the tribe is liable for its torts and claims. We have to carry insurance for that purpose, just like any other municipality would in the state of Minnesota. As far as the auditor and not having jurisdiction, it may be so with the state auditor, and I'm not familiar with their role specifically, whether it's financial or not. But we were recently audited by the Minnesota BCA. It was a very thorough audit, and that has to do with our criminal justice information systems. They have jurisdiction over us, so does the FBI. And we were also audited by the Minnesota Post Board 2 years ago. And that was a site visit where they come through and they check all of our records, just like every other municipality. So we're subject to those things. We're not different in that capacity.
Very well.
Chairman, if I may just add one more thing.
Please, General Counsel.
Thank you, Representative. And just to follow up on Chief Supreme's comment, as a civil regulatory matter, the tribe certainly can prohibit firearms in its territory, and that is not inconsistent with the application or enforcement of state criminal law. And I would struggle with letting the record reflect the notion that tribes are private entities. I can assure you we are indeed governments, sovereigns, here before the state of Minnesota, here before the United States. And we will continue to be here in that function, and we're simply asking for the ability to police our jurisdictions with state criminal law in order to allow us to continue to have safety and continue to have members and non-members be safe in our jurisdiction. Thank you.
Very well. Further questions? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if we could get some advice from nonpartisan counsel, specifically on lines 1.14, when we're changing shall to may, and how does that impact whether or not that is or is not a governmental unit on line 1.16, and what would be the impact of that change of law?
Representative O'Neill, you're referencing the language of the DE1 amendment, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that would be in the original 719 bill, and that is in our packets. Again, that was specifically line 1.14, changing shall to may, and how that impacts whether or not, if that agreement was not entered into, does that, on line 1.16, where it says governmental unit, is it still a governmental unit or is it not? And what would be the impact of that change?
Very well. And your question is to the council, is that correct?
If we could, because
all right, let's hear from council.
They are the experts in the room.
And then Representative Dean. Mr. Dean.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm not a local government expert, but my reading of this language and the proposed changes, the treatment of the tribe as a governmental unit is contingent upon entering into this cooperative agreement. With that said, the aforementioned reference to subdivision 2 of the law in chapter 622.93 discusses the requirements to exercise concurrent jurisdiction, and as mentioned by the chief, they do need to agree to be subject to liability and torts. So I think we'd need to tap into our local government expert to understand the ramifications of how the joint powers agreement definition of governmental unit would apply beyond that superficial analysis, but that's my reading.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to reference that the lines that you were pointing out are actually line 1.11 on the DE1 and 1.13 on the DE1, just so we're all working off the actual provision that's in front of us.
Thank you very much. General Counsel.
Chairman, my understanding of this is that it is talking about what the tribe will be considered for the purposes of this statute, section 471.59. And in that statute, governmental unit is defined, and then that statute goes on to discuss the types of cooperative agreements and the types of elements of cooperative agreements can be set forth in these governmental agreements between two different governmental units. That is my recollection from the last time we were before you, but we would certainly be happy to dig deeper into that and provide you additional information.
Very well. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my concern is, since we're not experts here on local government, has this bill, I guess it was the amendments the same as the 719, has this bill gone to local government and had a
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Representative, what was your question?
Has this bill gone before local government?
I don't know that it has.
We're checking as we...
Okay. Are you...
Apparently not, no.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my concern would be, since we're not experts in the room as to what this net effect would be of changing shall to may, and that with the plain reading of the language according to our expert in the room here, the nonpartisan staff person, mm-hmm. that it's most likely would not be considered a governmental unit. We just don't have the experts in the room to say what's the net effect of that. So if they don't enter into a cooperative agreement, mutual aid agreement, then they are not considered a governmental unit, and I don't believe we have the expertise here to know what the impacts of those are. That would be my concern, Mr. Chair.
Very well. Further questions? Representative Johnson.
Chair Mariani, members. Representative O'Neill brought up a very good point. Under the cooperative agreement, the tribal government is considered a governmental unit. But without an agreement, even with this bill, they are not. So if they do not have an agreement with this current, with the amendment that we put on, I do not believe that they would have to follow any of our current election laws or anything for their government their tribal government to exist under state statute. That even brings up more concern. And I also, even with the Senate version, with that exception, it even brings up even greater concerns as without that being considered a government unit, I don't think they would even have to have the waivers in for allowing the ability for somebody to outside their jurisdiction to even bring a tort against the tribe for unlawful arrest or abuse of power or assault by a peace officer. So that's even makes it more concerning to me.
Further comments from General Counsel or anyone else?
Chairman, Representative, just again, and I have a great concern that all of your fears are based in a fundamental misunderstanding, and that as a policymaker in our state, that there is a misguided view and ability to understand the tribal state governments, and I would respectfully encourage you to continue your education on that part.
And members, we certainly began our session this year with a historic dive on the part of both bodies to gain more insight and more technical knowledge as well as historical context about our relationships with our tribal sovereign nations. Representative Dean?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, as I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about the issues regarding local government, you know, this is really an issue regarding law enforcement. And I think that this is the appropriate committee for that to be in. And as I read the current language that's before us, I don't think there's anything that changes the tribal unit of government to no longer be a governmental unit. I mean, that's, I don't know how far we want to go back relative to their sovereignty. So I don't think there's anything that changes that. The changes just seem to be relative to the cooperative agreement. And ultimately, where I believe our jurisdiction lies, and again, I'm not an attorney, never have been one. I've never put myself out as one. That we're changing some language to try to accommodate the situation that's before us, and we do that all the time. So in regards to this needing to go to local government, having seen the bills that go to local government, this seems to be the farthest from anything I've ever seen that's been sent to local government for being consideration. So I think we've got it in the right place, and I think it's time that we move forward. And the Senate has adopted this, and I think that we can be in agreement with the Senate.
Representative Dean, the Senate also has not sent their bill to their local government committee as well. So, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to respectfully disagree with my colleague. And I realize that you serve on those committees, but our own nonpartisan staff, who's been here decades, couldn't explain clearly, because it's not within his expertise, what would be the net impact of it not being defined as a local, as a governmental unit. And I think it's important. That's not in our jurisdiction. The language that is being changed is not in our jurisdiction. Yes, it references the fact that law enforcement is entering into this, but since changing shall to may, that changes and puts in question whether or not they're considered a governmental unit, and that is not in our jurisdiction. And so respectfully, I ask, Chair, that you would make a motion to move this to either government operations or local government, but I just don't feel that we have the expertise, even in the experts here at the table with us, to give us full information as to what that net impact of that would be, because it's just not in our jurisdiction, Mr. Chair.
Chief Ruff?
Mr. Chair, Representative, Minnesota Statute 471.59 already clarifies that a tribe is considered a governmental unit for the purpose of entering into agreements by other governmental units. That's part of that statute. I don't believe there's a requirement that there has to be an agreement in place for the tribe to be considered that. The definition is included in the statute, and it lists, among other things, federally recognized Indian tribes, the University of Minnesota, Minnesota Historical Society. The statute is already there.
Very well. Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say that I remain very supportive of this legislation. I think that we can look at history, that there was, as Representative Johnson said, there was a gap and there was a problem, and that's why you're bringing this legislation. And as policymakers around this table, our job is to see those gaps and help correct them. So I continue to have your support. I continue to be supportive.
Thank you. Members, I do would share the obvious that the amendment speaks, the language speaks to Minnesota Statute 626.93, which are statutes that govern law enforcement authority of tribal peace officers. Clearly, the onus, the jurisdiction for this bill is clearly placed within this division. Further discussion, Representative Johnson.
Chair Mariani, members, reading through 471.59, it does state that for a joint powers agreement, that the tribal government would be considered a governmental unit. Without a joint powers agreement, they are not. So, if with changing the may in this, they may get a agreement, but they don't have to. And also changing for the purpose of entering into this agreement, they are, which they are. That's not an issue. The issue is, by making it may, we're not in the joint powers agreement anymore. It's saying they are, although it's not in statute, and they're not in statute a governmental unit. This is making those reservations a government unit in the state of Minnesota as a state government. This more than ever needs to go to state government, because this is changing it dramatically.
Very well. Members, we have session, floor session in 25 minutes. It is the chair's intent to have action on this bill. We've had, I think, some healthy debate here. There is a motion on the table. If someone wishes to make another motion, you can certainly do that, but I want us to vote and move forward with this. Is there any other discussion? Representative Mullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to point out that this statute, 626.93, also has subdivision 6 that says the section is limited to law enforcement authority only, and nothing in this section shall affect any other jurisdictional relationships or disputes involving a tribe or current reservation boundaries. So I am in agreement with what my colleague said, especially Representative Dean, about how this is really focused on law enforcement authority.
Can you give me that site again, Representative Mueller?
It's the statute that we're amending, but it's subdivision 6 of this statute, 626.93, subdivision 6.
Very well. Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just listening to everybody around the table and testifiers and such, I think everybody wants to do this right. Everybody wants to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. If the Senate hasn't sent it to the government, we haven't sent it to government, I don't know why we shouldn't be prudent and make sure that it is well vetted so that we don't have unintended consequences come around and bite any of us in the backside. I think that we might want to take a step back, make sure that this, if this is the legislation that's going to move forward, to make sure that we go through the whole process, make sure it's well vetted, and that we have everything covered. If we're going to do it right, let's do it right the first time.
Very well. Is there any further discussion? Representative Dean.
Mr. Chair, real quickly, do you recall the date that this was before us last time? And why wasn't this issue of local government brought up at that time?
Partisan staff just whispered March 14th. We can certainly check that. But, yeah, that's been a couple of months. Very well. With that, seeing no further discussion, Representative Dean renews his motion that Senate File 1100, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Oh, we're going straight to the General Register.
Yes, sir.
All right. I take that back. Senate File 1100, as amended,
Chair Mariani,
referred to the General Register. Representative Johnson.
I also just noticed something else that is problematic with this bill. It deals with 626.93, which only affects the Mille Lacs Chippewa Band, because that's what 626.93 it's specifically spells out the tribes include the Mille Lacs Band of Chippewa, and only counts the Mille Lacs Band of Chippewa. That is in subdivision 1 in the definitions.
Mr. Chair?
Chief Prune.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe 626.93 excludes Mille Lacs and the...
You are correct. My mistake.
Yeah, I believe that one excludes.
Very well. So, members, the motion is before you, Senate File 1100, as amended, be referred to the Committee in General, to the General Register. Representative Johnson.
I'm wondering if this actually needs to go to Government Operations. Then I move it to make a motion to move it to Government Operations.
So, Representative Johnson is seeking to amend the Dean Amendment. Is that how we do this? Let me make sure I get this right from... Substitute amendment from legal counsel. Make sure I'm getting this right. Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson is moving to substitute his amendment for his motion. I think that's appropriate.
Okay, very well. Is everyone clear about the motion before us? If so, then all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion does not prevail. Back to the Dean motion then. All in favor of the Dean motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All same sign?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Kunesh-Pedin. Thank you, General Counsel in Chief from our tribal sovereign neighbors to the southeast of us. I also want to thank our other visitors from tribal sovereign nations here in the state of Minnesota who are present with us today. Members, with that, we're going to be on the floor in about 20 minutes. I'm not sure that this committee is going to meet again. The clock is ticking on our session, but we'll certainly let you know with good notice. And if not, or rather, with that, members, this committee stands adjourned.